last week we were at the fair booth. This is a continuation of lesson 9. We stopped right in the middle of lesson 9, talk about paying the price as a disciple. And the verse we were dealing with was talking about denying yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. A person that about losing our life, or that was the context we were in. And so, start off with a question then. Name a Bible character who was willing to sacrifice his comforts, wealth, and position to follow the Lord. And if you need a handout, it's back there on the table at the entrance. So who was a Bible character that did what the Lord wanted, and he or she sacrificed comforts, wealth, position, and doing so? Absolutely. So if you look at Hebrews 11:24, says, by faith Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Anybody else? Couple more examples here. Paul, if we look at Philippians 3:6, actually start in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. It goes on in verse 8, but do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Any other examples? How so? I guess he... in his willingness to follow the Lord and become king, he certainly was persecuted by Saul, but he was, restored to position. How about Abraham? Abraham, back to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. So he had a place of comfort. He had all of his needs there in Ur and living with his family. And God told him, hey, head in this direction, and when you get there, I'll let you know. And so first, take a lot of faith, and that's why he's in the faith chapter there. But so he gave up some comforts to follow the Lord. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Then in verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So they recognized that this world was not their home, and there was had faith in God that there was something better for them, and although they might have to sacrifice comforts and other things in this world to attain that. And then last example I have in the notes is also in Hebrews. It's talking about the saints, verses 36 through 38. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So again, they were looking at the eternal, and we'll get into some materialism, hopefully in lesson 10. We should have time to get to that today. And so for a quick review, we talked about discipleship may cost the Christian three things. What were those three things that we talked about? Family relationships, remember that? Popularity, our friends may, we may not be in the in crowd anymore if we're acting like Christ, like we should, in our very lives, control of our lives, we talked about. And we'll get into the fourth cost of discipleship. Talk about material possessions and comforts of this life. So really, if you look at it, many people's desires are to be constantly petted and pampered and surrounded with all these things that excite us and attract the eye and make life easier and more comfortable and more fun. And we got to have our air conditioning. We got to have our 60, 70-inch TV and all those things. And if you look at the average American, just even look at children, the vast majority of Americans, except for maybe those that live in squalid conditions in a ghetto or something, that they've had to endure, the average American, that is, have to endure very little harshness, very little suffering. But if you look and compare that to behind the Iron Curtain, you know, they go without heat for the winter. They go without food. They're treated very harshly by their governments. And they don't have the fine clothes, the automobiles, the nice beds, and everything that most Americans tend to enjoy. And that then can be a problem, so that the more we have, the more we want, generally, and then to hold on to our possessions. And that's why Jesus talked about it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved, because we just want to hold on to those possessions. So let's talk about what is materialism. Somebody give me a definition for materialism. Not everybody at once. What'd you say again? A desire to have tangible things. So it's a preoccupation with material things rather than intellectual or spiritual aspects. And so let's read, let's turn to Luke 14, 26. We're going to read 26, 27, and then jump 33. And I think we've read this verse a few weeks ago. Luke 14, 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. these the focus of these verses, they try to make it abundantly clear that you can't be that true disciple that Jesus is looking for as long as you're a lover of ease and comfort and material possessions. But let's step back a second and talk about what's wrong with materialism. Yep. About control, isn't it? Somebody else? Because doesn't materials include our necessities? You know, clothing, housing, shelter. Don't we have to have those things to live? Of course. So it's about, Brother Mark said, it's about control. Have mastery over our things, or do our things have mastery over us? So is it wrong to have nice things? So I got a quick story about, I won't say who this is, but someone I know. So he had a nice car and bought it brand new. And so it's a fairly expensive car. Obviously, park it in far away parking lot and double parks, things like that. And every time it got a scratch on it, this person was all up in arms. And at one point, was even knocking door to door to see which of his neighbors scratched his car. So that's letting your things control you rather than just enjoying those nice things that you have. Absolutely. And if you're trying to fill out your quiz things, this is, we're now in, actually, we're going to, I was jumping off onto lesson 10. We're back on lesson 9, sorry. They overlap, and I had some definitions of materialism in lesson 10. So we're on lesson 9. What is materialism? And if you look at your handout under 1A, it's materialism is living for material things. Whether it be cars, houses, clothes, gadgets, we all got to have our smartphones, and we got to have the latest and greatest smartphones sometimes, and whether it's entertainment. And materialism is closely associated with worldliness. That's 1B on your handout. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. In verse 15. And somebody read for me there verses 15 through 17. So how is worldliness defined in verse 16? What did you say again? So lust in three aspects, right? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's your handout number 2, A through C. So what is the lust of the flesh? So we need to eat, but we can also be a glutton. So we have to eat to live, so that's a necessity. But when we take that lust of the flesh to the next degree, then we can be a glutton. What other lusts of the flesh might we have? So covetousness, yep. That's more about the lust of the eyes. We see something that we want. Of course, that thing that we see may actually be a satisfaction of the flesh. So if we covet our neighbor's wife, then that's a lust of the flesh that was also involved, the lust of the eyes. What about the pride of life? The author of the lesson here says it's living to have things so that others will look upon us. See how great we are. So I got that new fancy Mustang just so everybody will look at me and see how great I am. Hopefully we don't have that attitude. So this pride of life, as author has here, is living to impress others with our possessions or our abilities or our prominence. So really, it's living without eternity's values in view, as though this world was all there was and that there's no hereafter. The next thing that it's, and the lady here said it, in your handout 1C, it's closely associated with covetousness. So that's your answer to 1C, covetousness. So covetousness is often defined as wanting something that someone else has. But really, the word covetous literally means to reach out for. It's living for things, constantly wanting those things. It's living to shop, living to possess, living to buy, living to dress, living to have. It's living to own. It's living to enjoy all the things of this life. And actually in Colossians 3:5 it says, covetousness, which is idolatry. So it's a form of idolatry when we're worshiping those things rather than worshiping God. So let's look at some of the biblical warnings of materialism. Let's turn to Job 31. Job chapter 31. Verse 24. Job 31:24. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoiced because of my wealth was great, and because mine hand hath gotten much. Verse 28, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. So what was the main problem here in, that this passage illustrates about covetousness? Say again? Covetousness, but what is the problem that it points out here? Right, we trust these things and this our money in the bank, and we're not trusting God. author here in the lesson says, living for things is a practical form of atheism. Let's turn to Psalm 10:3. Somebody read that for us. So what's the lesson here about covetousness? What's the last word? God hates it. Turn to Proverbs 15:27. Somebody read that one for us. Proverbs 15:27. And so what's the lesson here from this verse? Trouble with his own house, so you might be destroying your own home. It's probably the reason for many divorces and other things. It's covetousness, it's materialism, the desire to gain more and more. So the husband works too much to earn more money, but he doesn't have time for his wife and his children. Now, obviously, that can be a problem. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 22. In verse 16. Somebody read down for us. So what's the emphasis here about materialism? Not just that, those are both things that are true, but it's the cause of a lot of oppression throughout the world. And you have a lot of these leaders that they'll subjugate their population, and so they don't even have hardly food to eat, and the rulers are living high on the hog. Let's turn to... Well, I guess it depends on whether God decides in his sovereignty to judge them on this world, on this side of eternity, or on the other side of eternity, because sometimes the rich, they die rich. But obviously, just like the rich man in Luke chapter 16, he didn't suffer until the other side of eternity, and for him, at his death. But sometimes... I think this verse also says that God will judge them on this side, and they'll come to want in this life. Yeah, we see lots of divorce and unhappiness and suicides and things like that in Hollywood and the rich. That's for certain.
I think it's interesting because that said, and he that giveth to the rich. Why are people giving money to the rich? Usually it's because they want favor.
Yeah, a lot of times.
I read it that the guy that's given to the rich man is a poor man. He's seeking his favor in some way, whether it's a politician, the judge, it's a ruler, it's somebody that we think is better than us, we're trying to impress them. They're going to come to want. They're not going to be looking to return favor to us.
Yeah, that's not their interest. Good.
Because you want something. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get what you want out of it.
Absolutely. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. It says, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. So what's the lesson here? Yep. So it's foolish to live for money because you can't take it with you. It's not going to last forever. It's going to, the Bible talks about, moth and rust corrupting, and that stuff's not going to last forever. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 8. So somebody read chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. What can we see from these verses about materialism or covetousness? Verse 9 then talks about lest I be full and deny thee. A lot of times we again rely on those comforts and we're denying effectively or explicitly denying the Lord. So can a poor man or woman be materialistic? Absolutely. So just like the rich, the poor can be materialistic. And so they may not be gathering things like the rich man, but they may be driven to steal or to rob to satisfy their greed. You know, they may have their absolute necessities, but yet they're still stealing to gain something that they covet. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 1:8. Somebody read 1:8 for us, please.
All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, but the ear fills with hearing.
So what's the what can we take away from this verse? Things do not satisfy. The more you got, the more you want. How much money is enough? Just a little more. So let's jump over to verse 10. If you look at on the back side of your sheet, if you want to fill in the blanks. And 1A would be materialism has the wrong focus. So what's the wrong focus with materialism? What do we say materialism was? It's focus. tangible things. So materialism has the wrong focus because it's focusing on the tangible or the corporeal and not the spiritual and the eternal. So it's focusing on the visible rather than the invisible. And we saw that when we read Hebrews 11, 8 through 16, where Abraham, he never saw the complete fulfillment of God's promise to him. He partially saw that, but he didn't see all that God had promised to him. And his treasures would not be realized until he was in heaven. He lived in earth in a tent, but his eyes were on that better place, that foundation whose maker was God, that it said. He was living with those eternity's values in view. Let me read 1 John 2:16 again. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Let's talk about some Old Testament characters who were controlled by the lust of the eyes. Give me some examples. Achan. Lot. Yeah. Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that was enticing to him, and so he had his choice, and that's what he chose. So David saw Bathsheba, and he had a desire for someone else's wife, absolutely. Eve, she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes in Genesis 3:6. Judas Iscariot, the 30 pieces of silver. So in each of these cases, results were heartache and grief, and the irrevocable loss of blessing that also came about because of this. So it focuses on the temporary rather than the permanent. And if we look at this, we look at 1 John 2:15, the verse right before that. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Does anybody know what Greek word is translated here, world, in these three cases? Cosmos, absolutely. What is cosmos? What is this world then? Is it talking about? What does cosmos mean? You know, astronomers use the word cosmos to talk about outer space. It's really that orderly arrangement, and by implication, the world. It's the inhabitants, and it's translated adorning or world, and it occurs 187 times. And just to give you a sense of the Bible's use of the word, in Matthew 4:8, it says again, when talk about the temptation of Christ, again the devil taketh him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, cosmos, and the glory of them. In John 9:5, it says, as long as I am in the world, cosmos, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In 1 John 2:17, it says, and the world passeth away. So these things that are temporary or corporeal things are going to be going away. So I just wanted to give you a sense of how that's used, and obviously, we've talked about materialism and things, and we have to we use money for good things. We use money for, if we're good stewards, then we're giving to tithing to the church and we're giving to missions. We obviously need clothes and things like that. So, and a lot of those things, it's not sinful to have a reasonable desire of those things. It's the unreasonable desire that we've been talking about that leads to covetousness. So what does it mean that in 1 John 2:15, love not the world? What is God talking about here? And if you do, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yeah, I think that's the crux of it, is putting those things before Christ. Just like we read one of the other verses, if you hate not father and mother, and if you don't put all these things, you don't put him before all these other things. It's a matter of degrees. And if you're trying to fill out your papers, 5G is loving the world and the Father are really mutually exclusive. That's what the author of the lesson says, because it's living for those material possessions and comforts. It's really a wasted life. And if we read in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So we read this passage already, but why did Moses choose to suffer as a Jew rather than enjoy the pleasures of the palace in Egypt? Back to Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. Right, so if we look at that verse, I think it's like verse 25, he says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So Moses recognized that the things in this earth were temporary, and he could live in the palace for till he was 60, 70, 80, whatever years old, and then he'd be dead, and he didn't use his life to serve God. And if we look at the last part of verse 27, talks about the invisible. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let's go to Matthew 6:19. Somebody read verses 19 through 21, please. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. I think that last verse is the key that shows us about materialism and covetousness and whether we are in control of our possessions or our possessions are in control of us. For where our treasure is, there's where our heart is. And if you're looking, trying to fill out your blanks in 5B, as in Bravo, it's lay up treasures in heaven rather than earth. We're running out of time here. Let's go to Philippians 3:7. Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. I think we already mentioned this, that Paul was one of those examples that was willing to give up all things, and not just give them up, but he had the right view of that. He considered them but dung, it says. And if we get our focus off of Christ and eternity, we often become materialistic, and we really kind of disqualifying ourselves from being that true disciple. Let's go about a couple more minutes here. 1B, your answer is materialism softens character. It softens character. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 3. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so the author of the lesson points out that if we get too much focus in on materialism, we're really softening our character, and that character that God wants us to have as a soldier. And the soldier, they endure hardening, toughening, discipline. They're not soft and cowardly. Be a good soldier. And so if we're enjoying kicking back, watching TV, enjoying our air conditioning, not studying our Bible, whatever, and we're not being battle-hardened, then we're less effective as a soldier. The next one in 2A, is it pampers the body and feeds the flesh. Pampers the body and feeds the flesh. Turn to Luke 12:16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided. So he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. And so we talked about, we couldn't take it with us. And he just wanted to take thine ease and sit back and cruise through life. Of course, he probably worked hard to get where he was. Most rich people do. I guess some get it inherited. But the point of this verse is it pampers the body and feeds the flesh. So we're out of time right there. Let's go ahead and dismiss in prayer, and then we'll come back next week and finish this. Lord, thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Thank you for the chance to come together and hear the pastor this morning and the sermon. Lord, thank you for this Sunday school time, and thank you for the participation of those that are here. And Lord, help us to be that iron that sharpeneth iron as we try to become better disciples for you. Lord, we just want to give you the praise and the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.